Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hello, and welcome everybody to another episode of Pod Strickland. I'm your host, Shwinipu, and this is episode 386. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, that is at underscore Presidente. Prez, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. The weather may not feel like spring, but it sure is spring because it's the second inning and the Yankees are down 4-0.
Well, the good thing is that there's 161 more of these for you to live through.
Oh, and 162, here we come.
Here we go. All right. Before we get started, do have to make a few announcements. First being that Strickland has an Instagram. Check that out. That is at the Strickland on Instagram. We are posting all kinds of new content on there. The Strickland also has a YouTube channel where you may be watching this podcast. If you are, and if you haven't done so already, please hit like, subscribe to the channel. That'd be a huge help to us. Leave us a comment. Strickland also has merchandise, which you can find on our website, www.thestrick.land. There's a link that'll take you to the merchandise store. You can find all kinds of cool stuff on there. T-shirts, sweatshirts, hats, coffee mugs, water bottles. You name it, we've got it. And the Strickland has a Patreon, which you can subscribe to. There are a number of different tiers. There's a $6 tier that gets you access to Pod Strickland, this podcast that I host every Friday with Prez. You also get access to our latest podcast that is Takes from Obvious Bozos that is hosted by Andrew Steele, a.k.a. Doug, along with Zach Blatter. And you get access to the Strickland Discord, where the conversation never stops. There are further tiers. There's a $9 tier that gets you access to Strick and Roll, my solo pod, where I rant and rave about the next team and more. You also get access to wonderful premium articles by Matthew Miranda, one of the best in the business, who just dropped a great article, a second part of an article, previewing potential playoff matchups for the Knicks. And you also get access to our newest podcast, that is Strictly NFL, which you guessed it is a podcast about the NFL that is hosted by Constantine Metricos. There are further tiers. There's a $15 tier, $30 tier, $50 tier, and a $100 tier that's come with a variety of additional benefits, like listening on pod recordings, merchandise discounts, and even potentially co-hosting a podcast alongside yours one day, whether you choose to subscribe or not. None of this would be possible without you. And none of this would be possible without our wonderful sponsors. BetOnline, the tournament is here. BetOnline is your bracket headquarters for the season with the best bracket contest out there in odds, lines, and info in every game and every round trip. Every round right up until the national championship. You can access the most up-to-the-minute wagering information anytime to your desktop or your mobile devices and even track your bracket real-time all the way through the tournament. Head to the BetOnline app today and get in on all the action. Remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. We also got a great new sponsor. I love betting my friends and betting them on anything. Sports games, who's fast, that's what Cut allows me to do. The Cut app is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All payments, no need for Venmo. Use our promo code BELIEVENICKS, B-L-E-A-V-NICKS, for a 10% welcome deposit bonus. Don't forget that promo code B-L-E-A-V-NICKS. Cut, put your money where your mouth is. All right, so the Knicks have now won three in a row. They've won 6 of 7, I believe. Yes, 6 of 7. And they're on a nice little run here. So, you know, they also got Mitchell Robinson back yesterday, active, played only 12 minutes, working. He's going to be on a limited minutes restriction for a little while here, as is Isaiah Hartenstein still. Who, if you don't know, Isaiah Hartenstein is black. They're both on limited minutes restrictions. And that's cool because the Knicks also have Precious Chua, who destroyed Toronto last night. But the big story, obviously, for the Knicks is not that they even won by 44 points, which honestly was ridiculous to watch considering how little they tried. And I mean that, like, honestly, like, the Knicks did not try very hard to win this game, and they won by 44 points. It says a lot about the talent on this team and just how talented they are in overall. What were your takeaways from what we saw from Mitchell Robinson, who, again, only played 12 minutes? What did you think of how he looked? And, you know, kind of, was there anything that you saw that you're like, this is interesting and different from what was going on prior to him being back with this bench unit?
I think the only thing that falls into that last bucket was his one dribble drive adventure that Tibbs. Wait, did Tibbs? Tibbs challenged it or Darko challenged it? Either way, it was the charge.
Oh, Darko challenged that.
Darko challenged it, right. And yeah, I mean, I was like, good for you, come back feeling ambitious, man. But everything else, it was kind of what you'd like to see and also a little bit of what you'd expect. I mean, Darko's quote about just Mitch dwarfing the Raptors has circulated on the internets, but it is kind of jarring when you, like, because even Hartenstein, who's a legit 7-footer, is not, like, nearly as big as Mitch, both height and just bulk. So it's easy to talk about it, but it was just, like, kind of jarring to see him just, like, reach over the top. And, like, there was one sequence where I think the Raptors fouled him on, like, almost 3 straight plays trying to box him out. And the ref called it each time, and it was like, oh yeah, he just like Hartenstein, like we've sung his praises up and down, left and right, appropriately. It's just a different look with Mitch out there, where it's just like there's some teams, like for shit teams especially, there's literally nothing they can do but foul Mitch, like that's it, or else you just have to concede the rebound. He was gassed super early, which is to be expected. This was. There was one play where he got a deflection and he poked the ball away from a ball handler. I don't know who it was at the 3-point line. And you saw him like lunge forward, like, oh, I'm going to try to get this steal and just pick six it. And then he just stopped like, nah, I can't. I don't got that right now. And then he just clapped his hands like, damn, next time. So you could see he's aware of his limitations right now, which is also good. You don't need him like fucking shit up worse. He was fumbling everything like Nerlens, which is also to be expected. You know, this guy doesn't have wide receiver hands to begin with, but definitely better than he showed yesterday. And it's just probably been a while since he's had like full game speed passes thrown his way with people in the crowd, right? So there was that, like, to your point about just like, wow, it is hilarious that the Knicks won by 40 despite like they were just kind of hanging out. Like, the same way this is true of Mitch. Like, he dominated them, and he was, like, not even close to 100%. Like, he's just getting his bearings and getting used to the speed again. So, I don't know. It's just really reassuring to your earlier point of having not only iHeart playing at such a high level, but, like, you have Precious there as the insurance. That just makes you feel good, right? Like, Sims is... bless his heart. Like, he's better than he was last year, but like Precious is legit hooping. So
I actually feel like Sims is worse.
Really?
I feel like he's just terrible. Like, he never knows what he's doing in pick. Like, not, he's always been kind of, I mean, he's never been disciplined in pick and roll defense, but I think it's worse now. Like, he just is always fucking lost. He never, like, there was one yesterday that just pissed me off where I forgot who it was. I don't know. It was like some, it didn't really matter. It was like, fucking game's over when he's in, but like he like just dropped way off, and I'm like, what is, like, the guy, you're just giving the guy like a wide open three, like how is that your fucking logic there? I don't know. I'm happy to have him as the fourth center, and clearly like he must be like a good practice player because that seems like his primary kind of what he's there for, but I don't know, man. I genuinely think he's like worse this year.
I mean, he might be, and it's funny, like other Knicks, it's like, oh yeah, you could beat the Raptors on chill mode, but for Sims, it's like, no, you gotta prove yourself, motherfucker. This might be your last minutes of the season, bro. Like, I'm not even kidding. It might be a wrap for him. It was the perfect team for Mitch to come back against, because nobody. Like, their best center is fucking Kelly Olynyk right now, who's, like, the worst rebounding center in the NBA. So, like, this is the perfect, like, AAA squad, you know, RJ Scotty IQ out for them to bring Mitch back slowly. I don't know what his minutes total ended up being. So I don't know what... I know he has a limit right now, but I don't know. I don't recall what it is. Do you know?
Who?
Mitch, minutes limit?
They didn't say anything, but he played 12 last night, and it was weird because the Knicks were just up by so much they really didn't need to push anybody.
Right.
But like, I think if I were guessing, well, Hartenstein only played 19, so he'll probably play like 24, 25, something like that. Mitch, I would think, is probably like 15 or something. And then Precious gets some backup four and the backup 5 minutes. That feels like that is probably what it is.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It was good. I'm eager to see how he comes along just as the endurance continues. And yeah, like he's like, the instincts are still there, which is like, you would expect that to be the thing that's there, right? And like, while the physical comes along, but he was just having such a great season from an instincts perspective that you almost got to pinch yourself. Like, I hope this doesn't disappear, right? Like, not that his instincts were bad last year. They were great last year, but like, he took it to another level on defense. So, yeah, it was good. I was impressed with Mitch. One thing I wanted to talk about from the game yesterday, I mean, we'll get to Deuce, but just like the passing in general, and specifically, I'm trying to find this stat. I think since the All-Star break, the Knicks are like sixth in assists or something like that, something wild, which when you consider the injuries, and we've talked about how much Jalen Brunson has been running off ball by necessity because of they're like double, triple teaming him and shit on the ball. And we've had to, get it to him off the move. We have guys like now 48 minutes of, we talk about 48 minutes of rim protection with Mitch and iHeart. But one thing we haven't talked about in the last like month or so is with Precious and iHeart, you have basically 48 minutes of dribble handoff and guys who can screen and do stuff on the short roll. And then you have more connective playmakers like Dante and Bogdanovich to a lesser extent playing bigger roles. Deuce obviously is like a ball mover. So like, strategically, by necessity, this team is very much the opposite of like the Randall Brunson ISO and O rebound Knicks, right? So like, are you worried at all about, when fully healthy, reconciling these two styles of basketball, perhaps in the playoffs?
Yeah, I am worried about it, which is why it'd be nice to get Randall back. I'm worried about it because it needs to like happen. Like, it has to unfold on the court. You can't like just drop Randall.
He's not trying on clothes.
You can't just drop Randall and be like, all right, just play the same way that we've been playing, or like, oh, go back to how we were playing before. It's a totally different dynamic. I'm pulling up the stats now. So the Knicks post All-Star break. All right, here we go. Post All-Star, the Knicks have the 15th best offensive rating in the league. So 114.2. They have the sixth, as you mentioned, highest assist percentage at 66.2. I don't know that, like, this is where I always struggle with it. So, like, I mean, this is where I would do it. So we can just do this on the fly. We can do this on the podcast because we have the ability. Don't you think it's more relevant to look at the season in the segments of, like, when we've had various players healthy? So the Knicks don't have...
Yeah, I wasn't going to be mean, but I was like, all right, whatever O ratings, like, that literally is meaningless. Like,
yeah, so if you just want to take from when... Julius Randle and OG, they play their last game. I'm not going to take out the three games OG came back for. Fuck that. But they basically played their last games with the Knicks this season to date on January 27th against Miami. So from that point to today, the Knicks are... Wow. Having to scroll there. Okay. No, this is not updated yet. All right, here we go. The Knicks are... Wow, okay, so they're still 15th in offense rating? That's why. Okay, hold on. I got to fuck around the filters, because when you already have post-All-Star and then you adjust the dates, it still does the post-All-Star. Look at me, learning on the fly. All right.
Come now, with us on this journey, listeners. This is the stuff you pay for.
this is where we're at. The Knicks in that time are 13th in offensive rating, 115.4 offensive rating.
And this is during which stretch?
From the from after the last game OG and Randle played together against Miami to now.
Okay, so some of that is
pretty awesome.
No, I know.
So like Precious starting.
Yeah, and OG playing with Brunson.
Yeah, very. I mean, it's three games.
Okay. Yep.
I was like, I'm like, whatever, dude. Like three games, I'm not gonna give it up. Plus,
when you're the plus minus god, three games can juice the stats. All right, man.
Yeah. Well, we scored 98 points on one of them against the fucking Kings. So, at 105 against the mighty Portland Trail Blazers. So,
yeah, but the other teams probably scored like 12 or whatever.
93 so. And 91. But in that time, the Knicks have 115.4 offensive rating, which is actually slightly higher than their post All-Star offensive rating of 114.2. That's ranked the Knicks 115.4 offensive rating from January 28th until now, would rank 13th in the league. That's basically on par with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Chicago Bulls, and slightly above the Kings and surprisingly, the Milwaukee Bucks, which, all right, whatever. This team continues to make absolutely fucking no sense to me. Their assist percentage over that full time, this is crazy. It's 25th in the league in that time, 60.9. So that pre All-Star stretch, and the post All-Star stretch is pretty wild. And honestly, do you know when Deuce got put in the starting lineup? He started his first game against Golden State, right?
Yeah.
Knicks, Golden State. All right, let's do this. They played March 18th.
Offensive rating of 446, I think.
March 18th. All right. So the Knicks, all right. So from January 28th until March 19th, okay, the Knicks rank. Do you think their offense rating went up or down?
When Deuce got started?
No. So from if I take out the Deuce sample.
From the All-Star break to right before Deuce?
Yeah. Or just from January 28th until before Deuce started. So from when OG and Randle went out until right when Deuce started.
I feel like it would be like down or like neutral-ish. Not much high either way.
Okay. Well, it's much worse, actually, than if you include the first sample. If you just include...
I guess it was a lot of low-scoring 1998 type scores.
If you take out the last, so he started against Golden State, Sacramento, Denver, and who's the other team? He just played Toronto and Detroit, which, okay, albeit let's, not exactly a murderer's row here. All right, I just want to make sure we have this right. This is what you guys pay for. All right, no, he didn't start. He didn't start against the Kings. So he just started this Warriors game. He started Warriors, Nuggets, Nets, Pistons, Raptors. Okay, so that's five games. If you take out those five games, the Knicks drop from a very respectable 13th in offensive rating to 20th in offensive rating, 112.9. Their net rating actually drops as well. Their defense basically stays roughly the same. Their assist percentage, this is probably going to be fucking hideous. The Knicks were 26th over that time in assist percentage, so 59.4. So now let's take a look at since Deuce has started. Again, this is just five games, and they include games against a couple of the worst teams.
It's the most accurate and important sample we will ever cite on this podcast. Definitively predictive of future playoff performances.
So since then, this is five games. The Knicks are 4-1. The Knicks have a 125.9 offensive rating, which is third in the league. They have a 110.2 defensive rating, which is ninth in the league. They have a 15.7 net rating, third best in the league. And their assist percentage is 11th at 66.5% assist percentage.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.